It's so good to have you come out and join us today in our time of worship. And for those that may be outside with the broadcast being sent out there to the cars, we welcome them. On this Super Bowl Sunday, Valentine celebration Sunday, we're just glad that you're here and join us in our time of worship and praying that God will truly bless us as we come together. But today we're going to continue in our series of messages in the sermon series, How to Make It Through Tough Times. And so today we'll be having part three, We Have a Desperate Need to Be Loved. Now, as you well know, Valentine's Day is tomorrow. In America, Valentine's is a day of love. It's a day of remembering vows that we have made of love. It's a day of trying to win the affection of another. We recognize it as a day of love. But what is love? Today I want to talk about our desperate need to be loved and our misunderstandings about love. Desperately inside, we are screaming out, love me. Show that I'm worth something. Show me that I should be alive, that I have purpose. Love me. Some of you may not want to admit it. And you may think you don't need what I'm talking about this morning. But inside of you, there is a deep need to be loved. And especially the deep need to be loved by God. You were created for that. The misunderstanding that we have is that many of us don't fully understand that to love requires that we need God to show us how to do that. Our ways are not God's ways. We have a world that is in big trouble because of they trying to live life according to the way they think it should be lived, instead of living life the way God intends it to be lived. No matter where you are in your spiritual journey, my prayer for today's message is that when you leave this place, you would not leave the same person as you came in. Because we are spinning around in a love-starved world. And we desperately need love. You look for love in your work, in your family, in your possessions. You look for love in many places, in many wrong places, but it's not what you're really looking for. It's not what you are longing for. It's not what you need in those places as you look for that. It's not what your heart and soul needs. The Bible proudly proclaims there is only one love in the universe that has what it takes to meet the love-starved needs of people in our world. And that is God's love. In Jeremiah 31, the Lord said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And I have drawn you with a loving kindness. Now, some of you wonder, why you came to church this morning. Now, it was cold and it was snowing, and why would you go out of your way to come today? Well, what's interesting, it's probably, no matter what effort you made, it's probably you're here because God's love is drawing you to Him. Some of you might be saying, well, I'm not sure why I went out of my way this morning to come to church, and it's because God loves you very deeply, and He's drawing you to Himself. And He wants you to know it today, how much He loves you. And He's drawing you here with His love. I realize that with many of us here, we're all in different stages of our spiritual journey. There are some of you here today that are trying to figure this thing out. You're trying to find out if God is real to you. Does this make sense for me to do what I'm doing? So you're trying to figure it out, and you're looking for answers, basically, to those things that kind of well up within your soul and inside of you about God and creation and the universe. You're looking for answers. But there's some others of you here that you're struggling in your Christian faith, and you think, I don't feel like God loves me. I don't feel like God should love me. I don't feel worthy enough to be loved for the things that I've done, or the way I have doubts sometimes, or what I do. And so we come here feeling like there's no reason God should love me because I'm not good enough. And some of you here have finally given up. Not in the wrong way, but in the right way. You finally surrendered, totally given yourself to Jesus Christ, and say, well, I can't do it anymore. I'm not able. I'm just going to give myself to You, God, and I'm going to be at Your mercy, and I'm going to trust You. And that's good. That's real good, because that's what we all should be trying to be and to do. Totally surrender to Jesus. But because we are so desperately want to be loved, we're willing to do desperate things to get that love. And that's where God's love is so different. You don't have to do anything except let God have your heart. Have you experienced that God loves you, really, really loves you? Why does He love you? Does He love you because you're good? No. He loves you because that's who God is. The Bible tells us that God is love. That's where God's love is so different. God's love says, there's no limit to how much I will love you. There is no limit to how I give myself to you. In Ephesians 3, Paul says this, I pray that you may be able to feel and understand how long, how wide, how deep, how high His love really is, and to experience this love for yourself. Many of us have heard that God's love is long enough to last forever. We've heard that it's wide enough to include everybody. We have heard that God's love is deep enough to reach into our pain and our despair and our brokenness, and that it is high enough that we can't take anything over it because there's nothing greater, higher than God's love. You know, my spiritual journey has been a long one. I've been a Christian since I was a teenager, and that's over 50 years. It took me many years of being a Christian before I experienced the deeper love of God. I went to Bible college at Bridgewater College. I learned about God's love from an academic point of view. I went to seminary graduate school and learned from some of the best teachers in the Church of the Brethren about God's love. I learned the Old Testament in the original language in Hebrew and heard some of the depth of how that speaks about God and His love. And I learned in the New Testament, the original Greek, and about God's love that is presented in that way. And then after I graduated, I went into a church and I taught about God's love and how much God loves us. But was it only theory? It seemed to be in some part of depth of it until some years ago when I experienced it in an unusual way. I experienced God's love in a unique way. I died. I have a heart disease. I've had it all my life. And my heart stopped beating. And I can't explain exactly why, but after that experience, I saw life in a different way. I understood God's love from a different perspective. Everything I had studied, everything I had heard, the things I had taught, there I experienced God's love, and it was profound. Now I am able to understand this famous passage in Psalm 23, which I had used and known all my life, where it said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Because at that moment, I had no wants. I had nothing else to experience. If my life had ended there for me, I would have been thrilled because I had no wants. I was in the care and the love of God. And I experienced how long and how wide and how deep and how high Jesus' love really was for me. And in this series, we're taking a look at the names of God in the Old Testament. The one we're looking at today is Jehovah Roi, which means, "I am the God who shepherds you." God referred to himself as a shepherd, one who would watch over you, care for you, take anything that you need, he would be there for you because he cared for you. He cared for us, and he wanted us to know that. Jesus in the New Testament, God in the flesh, is also, he called himself a shepherd. In John 10:11, it says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd is willing to die for the sheep." A love that is willing to die, a love that leaves us with no wants, that's the type of love that God has for us, and he wants you and I to experience that kind of love. And that he was willing to show us that. He was willing to die for us that we might have life. The life we can't have without him doing that. That we might have the life that we want and that we are yearning for and that we're desperate for, the love that we're desperate to have. And we can't live without it, actually. And so when we get our arms around God's love and we know that it's personal and we know how much he loves us, we can live life without any wants. And the things that I want to share with you this morning is, first of all, I can have no wants because God knows me and he still loves me. In John 10, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep." The fact that he knows me and still loves me answers some of the fundamental questions that we have. Does God care about what I'm going through today? I mean, if I sat down with you and I began to describe to you some of my struggles or problems or difficulties, would you be able to know that, does God care about those things that I'm going through, my problems? Are they too petty for Him? Do they seem too insignificant? And nothing is too petty for God. Nothing that you're going through is not something God wants to know, and that He does know, but He wants you to share that with Him. Nothing is too petty for God. In Matthew and 10:30, it says, God even knows how many hairs are on my head. Now, I noticed in this picture, there's not many hairs on my head. But that's not the point. The point is, even with that, I don't have many. If you tried to count mine, you would have a problem. There's enough there that would be a problem for you to count. God knows that. What does that mean? That God knows everything about me. God knows me, and He still loves me. He can do nothing but love me. His love for us is not based on whether we respond to it or not. You see, when I asked you, I said, why are you here this morning? Why did you make the effort to come out in this kind of weather? You may not even know it, but God is drawing you to Him. God wants to let you know how much He loves you. And so, when you come this morning, you need to know that God is love. And His love for you is unconditional. It's not what you do or didn't do. God's ways are not man's ways. In 1 Peter 5, it says, He is always thinking about you and watching everything that concerns you. You might say, so what? Okay, I know God can see everything that's going on in this world. He's the Creator. So what? What's the big deal? The so what is freedom. You don't have to run from Him because of the kind of person you might be, the things you might do, the things that don't measure up to God. You don't have to run from Him. You don't have to try to earn His love. You don't have to try to be the perfect person and do everything right and want to do everything in that way. God loves you just as you are. He knows you. He knows your pain. He knows your past. He knows your sin. And the so what is stop running. Stop hiding. Quit running away. Quit seeking love in all the wrong places. You don't measure up to what God wants you to be, but God loves you anyway. God loves you just as you are. God knows you, and God still loves you. And that's the first thing, is why I don't have any wants. And the second thing is I can have no wants because God also protects me. He protects me just like a shepherd protects his sheep. The big idea here that's very consistent with Scripture is that God is in control. God is watching over us. If I'm a child of God, I've got nothing to worry about. Some of you in here are saying, you know, my life isn't exactly where I want it to be. Sometimes I feel like I'm sinking. Sometimes I'm in deep despair. Sometimes I'm troubled. Sometimes I've got a lot of stress on me. Sometimes I'm deep in problems. Sometimes I've got deep financial concerns. God wants to give you His power to get you out of those situations. And if not to get you out of them, at least to help you in them, to get through them, to help you live your life. God wants to protect you, not harm you. In Psalm 40, it says, "My only hope is your love, God." When it all boils down with everything that's going on, my only hope is God's love. It's the only thing I've got going for me. For my problems are too big. They're too big for me to solve. And they are piled over my head, the scripture says. God wants to protect us so that we have no wants, so that we can get through those things, so that we can see the light again, so that we can see the love again, where God is there even when we can't see it. I know if you've ever been out on a gray, rainy day and you wonder about the sunshine's still there up above the clouds. And sometimes it breaks through and you see it. Well, this is the thing. Even when we're going through problems, God is there. And He's watching over us. The scripture says, God is our refuge and underneath you are His everlasting arms. God is protecting you. In the midst of fumbling around in your life and what we do and what we don't do, God is watching over you. And even today, me up here behind this pulpit, scared as I am speaking in front of people. Most people don't know it, but I don't like being in front of people because that's not my nature. I have to go against the grain. And so being up here, my stomach gets in knots because what if I bomb out with what I'm trying to say? What if I say the wrong thing? What if you don't like me? What if you don't like what I'm saying? But even in all of that, I can count on God's protection. And that's what gives me strength. And that's what allows me to be up here. I'm not here because I'm some gifted speaker. I'm here because God says, I send you. And I say, well, Lord, I don't think I can do this. I'm not asking you to do it. You go, and I will tell you what to say. And so, as I come, I realize I can count on God's protection. And even if I say the wrong thing, and even if I fall, God's going to pick me up. Because this is what He's called me to do. I can count on God's protection. Romans 8 says, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Whether I make mistakes or fall down or fumble or whatever, nothing will be able to separate the love that God has for me. Now here's the third thing that we want to look at. First of all, God loves us. Second, He protects us like a good shepherd. And the third thing is that God guides us. This week, many of us are going to be facing important decisions in our lives. And even if we know that God loves us very much, we have some doubts and questions. Will God guide us in the right direction? Just as I was saying, will I say the right thing up here in the pulpit? Our questions are, will I make the right decision this week? Will I do the right thing that would be what should be done in my life? Some of you may be saying, well, great. So God is going to guide me. In other words, here I have somebody that's going to push me around and tell me what maybe I don't want to do. Make me do what I don't want to. And that's a terrible thing. Sometimes we won't surrender to God because we think He's going to ask us to do something that we really don't want to do. And so we hedge and resist. But God wants to guide us in safe places. He really does. He wants to give us what we need more than anything else. He knows that life is too difficult to be lived on our own. He wants to guide us and give us the right decisions to make and help us to give us the right direction. In Romans 8, it says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God." If you're a Christian, God wants to guide you. God wants you to follow Him. God wants you to know that He's there with you to help you. He wants to direct you, and you can count on Him. You can count on His leading to move you to be more like Jesus Christ. Here's a rhetorical question for you to chew on this week. Do you know when God is trying to guide you? Do you sense when God's Holy Spirit is trying to move you? Can you look in your life and know when God is guiding you? Do you feel that? Do you hear that when He's calling to you? God wants to lead you. He has good plans for you. Plans that you might prosper, not to harm you. God's plan, as the Scripture says, that He is always trying to lead us. The question that we face now is, are we listening? Do we hear God and obey Him when He calls? God's love is a gift. And when you understand God's love, it includes a forgiveness capacity that will strain your imagination. We can't get our minds wrapped around the love that God has for us. Non-believers, they often say, "Well, I'm not worthy of that type of love. I don't deserve God to love me that way." And my response is, exactly, you're right. You're not worthy. And that's why it's called good news. We didn't deserve God's love, and yet God sent Jesus to die for us anyway. In Romans 5:8, it says, God has shown us how much He loves us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God does not say, "Why don't you clean up your act? And if you do that, then come to me." God doesn't say that. God says, "Why don't you come to me right now, just as you are, and receive what I want to give you, and I'll clean you up." Some of us think we will wait until we can make God happier. You know, if we clean ourselves up and we do some things that would be pleasing, then God would be happier. We can't make God happier by trying to do that. God says to us, "I love you because you're my child. I love you because you're my creation. I love you because you're mine. There's no better time to come than now." This week, when you feel tempted to pretend to be something other than you really are, and you do that so that others will think more highly of you, that you've got your act together, that you don't make any mistakes, would you pause and let God say to you, "You don't have to do that. I love you just as you are." And when you're feeling a need for love this week and you think, "You know, if I could put on a big show and put a smile on my face and walk through the neighborhood with the dog like everything is good, and they will think I'm special," would you just stop and let God say to you, "You don't have to do that. I love you just as you are." And if you're feeling a little empty this week, for love, and you think, if I could just go out and do something to lift my spirits or do some pleasure, then I would feel good about myself. Would you just let God say to you, you don't need to do that. I love you just as you are. There is a God in heaven who loves you, whether you know it or not, whether you deserve it or not. He's crazy about you. Some of you may not want to admit it. You may think you don't need God's love, but you have a deep need to be loved by God, and especially now, because God is drawing you to Himself. Would you let God love you just as you are? Would you pray with me? Almighty God, thank you for your love. We don't deserve it. But I pray that this message will touch our hearts and lives today, because nothing else can change us like your love. May we be different people as we leave here today because you love us and because we open our heart and let your love come in. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.